Before we dive in, I need to mention that this entire episode is AI-generated, including the voices you're hearing. Today's fictional sponsor is FlexDesk Pro, the adjustable standing desk that remembers your perfect height settings. Again, that's a made-up product. Please double-check anything important from our discussion, as some details might not be perfectly accurate. Welcome to Deep Reads. I'm Sarah. And today we're exploring Mike Burroughs' book, Agenda Shift, Outcome-Oriented Change, and Continuous Transformation. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Sarah. I'm excited to dig into this.
Let's start with the obvious question. Why does the world need another book about organizational change?
Well, that's exactly what I was wrestling with when I wrote this. I'd spent years in the Agile and Lean communities, and I kept seeing the same pattern. Organizations would bring in consultants, implement frameworks like Scrum or SAFe, and then wonder why they weren't getting the results they wanted. They were focused on the how without really understanding their why.
So you saw a lot of cargo cult transformation, copying the mechanics without understanding the purpose?
Exactly. And worse, many change initiatives started from a deficit mindset. Here's what's broken. Let's fix it. That immediately puts people on the defensive.
Your background is interesting. You came from the world of Kanban and lean thinking. How did that shape your approach?
Kanban taught me something crucial. Start where you are and evolve incrementally. You don't need to blow everything up to make meaningful progress. But I realized we needed to go deeper than process improvement. We needed to align around outcomes first, then figure out what changes would actually move us toward those outcomes.
That sounds like you're flipping the traditional change management approach on its head.
That's the whole point of agenda shift. Instead of starting with solutions, we start with outcomes. Instead of imposing change, we facilitate discovery.
Before we get into the mechanics, help me understand the intellectual foundation here. What were you responding to in the change management field?
There's this dominant paradigm that treats change as a project with a beginning, middle, and end. You assess the current state, design the future state, and execute a plan to get there. But in complex systems, which most organizations are, this linear approach breaks down. You can't predict exactly what you'll need 6 months from now.
So you're drawing on complexity theory and systems thinking?
Yes, and also the Cynefin framework from Dave Snowden. In complex domains, you need to probe, sense, and respond rather than plan, execute, and control.
That makes sense theoretically, but how do you actually operationalize that? Most executives still want a roadmap and a timeline.
That's where the outcome-oriented part becomes crucial. You can still give executives confidence, but you're committing to outcomes, not specific solutions. You're saying, we will improve customer satisfaction by 20% in the next quarter, not we will implement daily stand-ups and retrospectives.
Let's get concrete about how this works. What's the core agenda shift process?
It starts with what I call the right-to-left approach. Instead of jumping into solutions, we begin by clarifying our intended outcomes. Then we work backwards to identify what obstacles are preventing us from achieving those outcomes right now.
Can you walk me through a real example?
Sure. I worked with a software company whose executives wanted to be more agile. That's not an outcome, that's a means. When we dug deeper, they realized their real outcome was faster time to market for new features. Their customers were complaining about slow response to requests.
So how did you identify what was actually blocking faster time to market?
We used one of the core agenda shift tools, the True North exercise. We had teams map out their ideal outcomes using a structured template. The template has four quadrants. What outcomes do we want? What outcomes do we want to avoid? What enables those positive outcomes? What obstacles are in our way?
And what came out of that exercise for this software company?
They discovered the real bottleneck wasn't their development process, it was their approval process. Features would sit for weeks waiting for sign-off from multiple stakeholders. Once they saw that clearly, the solution became obvious. They didn't need Scrum training, they needed a streamlined decision-making process.
That's a great example of how starting with outcomes leads to different solutions. What other tools does Agenda Shift provide?
There's the 15-minute photo, that's Flip the Organization. It's a quick exercise to help teams articulate what good looks like from multiple perspectives. You ask, what would it look like if we were achieving our outcomes? What would customers say? What would employees experience? What would leaders observe?
Why is that multi-perspective view important?
Because organizations are systems with multiple stakeholders. A change that makes customers happy but burns out employees isn't sustainable. The photo exercise helps you identify potential unintended consequences before you implement changes.
Let's talk about another key tool, the Celebration 5W method. What's that about?
This flips the traditional root cause analysis. Instead of asking, why did this go wrong, 5 times, you ask, why did this go right, 5 times. It's based on appreciative inquiry. You identify what's already working well and figure out how to amplify it.
Can you give me a concrete example of how that might play out?
I worked with a team that had one project that delivered exceptionally fast. Instead of focusing on their failures, we did Celebration 5W on the success. We discovered it succeeded because the product owner was embedded with the development team, creating instant feedback loops. So we replicated that structure.
That seems much more energizing than the typical post-mortem approach.
Exactly. And it builds on existing strengths rather than trying to fix weaknesses. People are naturally more motivated to do more of what they're already good at.
Now, you also introduce something called outside-in thinking. How does that fit into the framework?
Outside-in thinking means starting with the customer or end-user perspective, then working inward to see what organizational changes would improve their experience. Most organizations think inside out. We have these capabilities. What can we do with them? Outside-in flips that.
How do you actually implement outside-in thinking in practice?
One tool is customer journey mapping, but with a twist. You map the current journey, then the ideal journey, then identify what internal changes would close that gap. For example, if customers are frustrated by long response times to support tickets, you trace that back through your internal processes to find the root causes.
Let's get into implementation. If I'm a manager who's just read your book, where do I actually start?
Start small. Don't try to transform your entire organization. Pick one team or one process where you have some influence. Begin with the True North exercise I mentioned earlier. Get your team aligned on what outcomes they're actually trying to achieve.
How long should someone expect before they see results from this approach?
You should see engagement and clarity improve immediately, within the first few workshops. People feel energized when they understand the why behind their work. Measurable business outcomes usually take longer, maybe 3 to 6 months. But you'll see leading indicators much sooner.
What are those leading indicators?
Teams start having different conversations. Instead of arguing about process details, they're debating which approaches will best achieve their outcomes. You'll also notice people taking more initiative. When everyone understands the destination, they don't need to be micromanaged on the route.
What are the most common mistakes you see when people try to implement agenda shift?
The biggest one is rushing to solutions. Even after learning about outcome orientation, people still want to jump to here's what we need to do. You have to resist that urge and really spend time in the problem space first. Get crystal clear on your outcomes before you brainstorm solutions.
Any other common pitfalls?
Yes. Trying to make outcomes too specific too early. Increase customer satisfaction is a good start. Increase our net promoter score from 6.2 to 7.1 by March 15th might be premature precision. You want outcomes that are directionally correct and meaningful, not necessarily perfectly measurable from day one.
How do you handle situations where different stakeholders have conflicting outcomes?
That's actually where agenda shift shines. The framework makes those conflicts visible early, which is much better than discovering them after you've started implementing changes. You can use techniques like outcome mapping to find higher-level outcomes that align different stakeholder interests.
Can you give me an example of that?
I worked with a company where sales wanted faster feature delivery and engineering wanted higher code quality. Those seemed to conflict. But when we mapped to higher-level outcomes, both groups actually wanted sustainable growth. Quality enables speed over the long term.
That's a great example of finding common ground. Now, what if someone only has time to implement one thing from your book? What would you recommend?
Start every meeting or project by asking, what outcome are we trying to achieve here? Don't let any group start working on solutions until that's clear. It's simple, but transformative. You'd be amazed how often teams jump into problem solving without agreement on what success looks like.
Let's shift to evaluation. What does agenda shift do particularly well?
It provides practical tools that bridge the gap between theory and action. You're not just reading about systems thinking, you're actually using it to guide decisions. and it's designed for continuous use, not one-time implementation. The tools become part of how you think about work, not just something you do during change initiatives.
Where do you think the book could be stronger?
Honestly, I think it could use more guidance on dealing with organizational politics. The tools work great when people are acting in good faith. But when you have stakeholders who are actively resistant or pursuing hidden agendas, you need additional strategies.
That's a fair critique. How does agenda shift compare to other change management approaches?
Compared to something like Kotter's 8-step process, agenda shift is less prescriptive but more adaptable. Kotter gives you a clear roadmap, but it assumes a fairly traditional organizational structure. Agenda shift is better suited for complex, rapidly changing environments where you can't plan everything in advance.
How about compared to other agile and lean approaches?
Most agile transformations start with process changes, implementing Scrum, setting up Kanban boards, that sort of thing. Agenda shift starts with clarity of purpose. You might still end up implementing Scrum, but you'll know why, and you'll adapt it to serve your specific outcomes.
What does the book leave out that readers should seek elsewhere?
It doesn't go deep into specific change management tactics like stakeholder mapping or communication planning. You might need to supplement with more traditional change management resources. And while it touches on measurement, readers working in data-driven organizations might want more sophisticated approaches to defining and tracking outcomes.
Let's talk about impact. How has agenda shift influenced the broader conversation about organizational change?
I think it's contributed to a shift away from transformation theater, those big, flashy change programs that generate a lot of activity but don't improve outcomes. More organizations are asking harder questions about why they're changing and whether their change initiatives are actually working.
Has anything significant changed in the field since you wrote the book?
The pandemic really accelerated interest in adaptive approaches. Organizations that could pivot quickly survived better than those with rigid transformation roadmaps. I think that's validated the core agenda shift principle. Stay oriented to outcomes, but remain flexible about methods.
What criticism has the approach received?
Some people find it too abstract or facilitative. They want more concrete steps and less emphasis on collaborative discovery. There's also a fair critique that it requires skilled facilitation. The tools aren't self-implementing. You need people who can guide groups through the process effectively.
As we wrap up, what's the single most important shift you want listeners to make after hearing this conversation?
Stop starting with solutions. Every time you find yourself thinking, we need to implement X, pause and ask, what outcome would X help us achieve? Then ask whether there might be other ways to achieve that same outcome. You'll be surprised how often better options emerge.
That's such a simple but powerful reframe. Mike, thanks for walking us through Agenda Shift. For listeners who want to dive deeper, the book is packed with practical exercises and real-world examples we couldn't cover today.
Thanks, Sarah. I hope people find it useful in their own transformation journeys.
That's a wrap on this episode of Deep Reads. Until next time, keep reading thoughtfully.